dead center of our work week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us here on After Hours. We are remembering the great Willie Hayes. Willie Mays. Do you guys remember the movie thing? The Willie Mays Hayes movie line or movie moment? I've a couple times over the last 3 hours said Hayes, and Jay looks at me, shakes his head. Nope, not it. You did it again. but how about that? Because of his iconic catch, there were moments in pop culture and entertainment that were then named for him or that were nods to Willie Mays. And I know there are a lot of somber and bittersweet memories now. And the sadness is there for one of the greats of all time, not to mention an ambassador for the game of baseball that transcended generations. However, he had a lot of joy, and people are really enjoying their stories of interacting with Willie. And it's been neat to hear some of the memories from people who actually spoke to him or talked to him or had a chance to meet him. I remember going back to when the All-Star game was in Boston at Fenway Park, and Ted Williams came out on a cart. It was, I think it was one of the carts that the landscaping crew used, the grounds crew. And even as they were introducing him there at Fenway Park, I mean, of course, everyone knows Ted Williams in Boston and the legend, but all the players were crowding around him to have a moment with him, to shake his hand. He was older, of course, but to shake his hand, to just say, hey, I talked to Ted Williams, or I was there when Ted Williams was there. It was pretty amazing. I'll never forget just the emotions of all of that. It was the 1999 All-Star Game. Pedro Martinez, part of that, he started. And they were just so overwhelmed with the opportunity to crowd around him and just say hello or shake his hand. I remember every player to a man, it seemed like, went up and had their own handshake and just quick moment with Ted Williams, because that was the shadow that he cast on baseball. And it seems to me that Willie Mays is very similar. The fact that he not only is one of the top center fielders of all time, one of the top home run hitters of all time, that he could do it all on the baseball field. There really wasn't a weakness in his game, and people just so much enjoyed watching him on the field, but also interacting with him off the field. His kindness, his generosity, his smile, just the charisma that he had. And so the stories, it's been amazing to hear them. And also some of you have called in to let me know that you shook his hand, watched him play at 10 years old. That's phenomenal. So you can find us on either of our sites at Amy After Hours, or our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking you, in addition to Willie Mays, because he is my answer, he and Ted Williams, who are the athletes that you wish you had seen play live? So you weren't around, and they predated you, or maybe you were too young to catch their careers and to really see it at all. Although, hey, if you're 10 years old and you see Willie Mays and you can talk about it like Chicago Johnny, that's pretty incredible. Yeah, so these are the kinds of moments and athletes and memories that affect us and impact us as we grow up. And for so many, that's what we're hearing about Willie Mays now, even like Aaron Judge, who grew up in the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So again, either of our social media sites, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything about 30 minutes away. Plus, we've got our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of Willie Mays, Pedro Martinez was part of the crew on MLB Network, TBS, that were remembering his impact on the game.
The first time I met him, I couldn't wait to get there just to see him in person, because I heard so much, I've read so much, I've seen the documentaries, I've seen every video out there, and that name, and just like Bob said, right along with Hank Aaron and some of those big names, are the essence of baseball.
The essence of baseball. That's amazing. The fabric of America's pastime can't be woven without Willie Mays and without the catch, which, again, is a little bit, scratch that. actually, I guess I'll go with that. For modern athletes, for modern football fans, the OBJ catch, that iconic moment, right? It was something we saw. We'll probably see it forever. That is why Odell Beckham Jr. is famous. Now, Willie Mays had a much more accomplished career than OBJ, though they're both champions. But Willie Mays' catch, it defined that generation of the sport. And it's one of the moments that baseball fans will tell you either impacted them or they wish they'd seen it live, right? It's one of those moments that if someone brings it up, you can see it in your mind's eye. Even if you didn't see it when it happened in the 54 World Series, that over-the-shoulder catch. And Tim Kirchen, the great baseball historian, former colleague of mine from ESPN, he says that when he spoke to Willie Mays about that catch, that Willie actually said it wasn't even in his top 10. All right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So taking your reactions, not only on our Facebook page, but also the answers to the question of those players, those athletes you wish you'd seen dominate in person, dominate live. So we'll continue to get through those, and we'll circle back to more of Willie Mays and some of the memories of the baseball community today, even as they get ready to go to Birmingham and play a special game at Rickwood Field. I was there in 2013 and had a chance to tour Rickwood Field. It was really neat. We showed up. It was off season because we were there in February. I was there in February for a basketball broadcast. And I remember we showed up there, and it just happened that we were outside the stadium, and there was a caretaker there, someone who worked at the stadium, and we struck up a conversation with him, my broadcast partner and I, and he actually offered to take us inside. And so it was really amazing to be able to walk out onto Rickwood Field, which is America's oldest ballpark, the history there. Since I'm a history buff, it was a moment and experience that I'll never forget. And it was empty, but it was amazing to be able to tour it. We went up into the broadcast booth, and it was awesome. They do minor league there now, and it was certainly home to the Black Barons back when Willie Mays broke in at 17 years old. They've got, you know, his number retired there. He's honored there, and they will have a special tribute to him coming up when the Giants take on the Cardinals on Thursday. And he was originally invited to be there. They found out Monday that he wasn't going to be able to make it. This is a reflection from Logan Webb. Now, I mentioned him earlier. Logan of the Giants. Logan was pitching on Tuesday evening against the Cubs, and they made the announcement inside the stadium, and they had a moment of silence, and Logan was getting ready to go out and pitch the seventh inning. And so obviously it kind of jars you, and no matter who you are in the baseball community, this is a moment that is sad and poignant. And so he was talking about his interaction and the team's interaction with Willie after the game.
I think he came around last year one day, and I got to, you know, say hi to him, and could tell he was struggling a little bit, and it was sad, you know, but being able to see him, you know, it really sucks that it happened, you know, 2 days before we're playing at Rickwood Field, and but we're going to play in his honor. So you know, Willie is kind of the giant, right? Like, he is the guy.
Logan Webb, Willie is kind of the giant. He is the guy. I can imagine that'll be a can't-miss game coming up on Thursday. A lot more people tuning in now, understanding the impact. And I think the memorial service that it can be for Willie. An opportunity for people who played with him or against him, saw him play, remember him. They'll get to be together in many cases. I wonder if they'll have even more celebrities of the game or greats, Hall of Famers that show up there in light of the fact that Willie passed away before they could hold this event. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, we'll get back to some of the tributes. They're all over the place now. It's really neat to hear the various stories. Coming up, we're half hour away from Ask Amy Anything. Do have a little football that I want to throw in coming up next segment. And then next hour, our friend Russell Baxter, who is a football historian, he will join us. I wonder, maybe we should give him a heads up and see if he has any Willie Mays reflections or any Willie Mays memories himself. And we'll do a little more baseball, modern day baseball, coming up. You may have seen or heard about Cameron Brink, who is the rookie, impossible to miss, for the LA Sparks. Now, she was selected number 2 overall in this recent draft behind Caitlin Clark, and she went to the Sparks, and she's also gotten a lot of chatter for potential rookie of the year, though it's very early in the season. But coming out of Stanford, known for the shot blocking, her interior game. And unfortunately, on Tuesday, she had to be helped off the court at Connecticut. So they're playing cross country at the Sun. And it sounded painful. She screamed when she kind of slipped as she was driving to the basket and grabbed her knee. She had to be helped off the bench to the locker room by a couple of staff members. And then they ruled her out of the game. The head coach of the Sparks, Kurt Miller, didn't have a whole lot of information to offer, only that they're checking out her knee. He did say it was a knee injury. They're checking it out. She'll have further testing on Wednesday. The fear, and I do not know if it's confirmed, but the fear is that it's a torn ACL just because it was a non-contact and the way that the knee slipped and her reaction to it. Yeah, it's unfortunately a very real element of basketball.
It's part of the WNBA, unfortunately. My career has been sprinkled, I think, with the exception of the 2019 season. I've lost a starter to injury every single year that I've been a head coach in this league. You just have to have the mentality of next person up and rally around it. I'm a big unintended consequence person. You know, does an injury open the door for someone else to really start to blossom and gain confidence in their career?
Yeah, it's a element of sports that I hate, but it's true what Kurt has to say. Those vacancies, those openings left because of an injury very often lead to another player who has a chance to prove himself or prove herself. Brink was averaging 2.5 blocks per game, tied for second most in the WNBA, which is one of the reasons why she's also mentioned in the conversation, early conversation for Rookie of the Year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, by the way, producer Jay, in addition to being called old because I don't want to acknowledge Miami as the party capital of the East Coast. Party is party. Alcohol is alcohol. Fun is fun everywhere. I don't think the setting matters as much.
It could be the party capital. That's fine. I'm not arguing that point. The Boston Celtics shouldn't have celebrated their championship from Boston in Miami.
Yeah.
That's all.
You can do it anytime. It's a little jarring that they took off 12 hours later and couldn't wait to get to Miami. Now, you know that there are a lot of athletes that gravitate there. Remember the Giants going back to, what year was it? 16?
The New York Giants?
Yeah, with
the
17.
Wide receiver trip? Yeah.
Right, with the wide receiver. I forgot what year it is. 16, forgive me for that. 16.
Trip, yeah.
Yeah, the boat trip. And it was before their first playoff game in quite a while.
Yep.
And the receivers, including OBJ, but he wasn't the only one. It was like the entire wide receiver room.
Victor Cruz. Yeah,
got on a plane and went to party in Miami on the Monday after the day they made the playoffs or after the end of their regular season. And there's video and it almost appears like they were smoking something that wasn't legal. And they're just having a grand old time on a cruise. Now, maybe that's your prerogative. Of course, there was so much made of it. All of them stunk getting back to...
Because they were terrible, right, in the game.
Right. Playing at Green Bay, right? And it was at Green Bay, wasn't it?
Green Bay or Carolina? One of the two.
Yes, maybe. Either way, I thought it was Green Bay. I could be wrong. But the very first drive of the game, OBJ drops a touchdown pass in the end zone. So there was that fuel for the fire. Anyway, I'm not arguing that it isn't a great scene in Miami. I've been to Miami. I've spent time on South Beach. In fact, I watched a USA World Cup soccer game on South Beach one time, and it was amazing. The energy, phenomenal. There's a lot of soccer fans there, of course, because there's a lot of people who are from Hispanic countries where soccer is king. I've been there. I get it. I've eaten restaurants in Miami. It's a great scene. But you're, as Jay points out, the Boston Celtics. And you can party in Miami after the fact. I think it's just odd that it was all over the internet. That's what their goal was, to get to party in Miami.
I bet Miami is a blast. I'm sure it is.
That's not the point.
Just wait. Just right. Don't party the day after you win the championship as the Boston Celtics in another city. It's simple.
Kevin says, partying in Miami beats partying in Boston, especially midweek. They're pouring salt in the wound. He says in the wounds of Heat fans while doing it. The team deserves to do whatever they want. They were the best team all year. Well, of course, that's not the point. It's the optics of the whole thing. It's kind of like, duh. I mean, I appreciate your points. We're not disputing any of that. Just the, you could also run the North End if that's what you wanted.
I don't think they're rubbing it in the faces of Heat fans. That's nothing to do with
it. I don't think it has anything to do with it. In fact, I think Marco's right. They probably have a lot of heat with them. I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Butler was, well, maybe not Jimmy. Some of the others, probably not Tyler Hero either.
I'd be upset if Jimmy Butler was partying with Tatum and Brown.
Right. Interesting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's quick talk to Philly Mac, who's in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, young lady. Tonight, I switched off to the Red Sox. I was doing a lot of things for my football team. We won this past weekend.
Nice.
43-7 in our season opener to defend our national championship. And so I was listening, and then all of a sudden the announcer kind of drove off, and he said, real sad news in baseball. Wait a minute. And then he announced it. Mm-hmm. And instantly, I went back to that moment you were talking about the golf cart, him coming onto the field at Fenway with Williams and Pedro. And Pedro had tears in his eyes. So when you mentioned Pedro tonight, I instantly thought about Pedro going over there with all the greats of that era who were in that game. And they didn't care that they were there for the All-Star game. They were there with Willie, and you could just see it. And I was at Pub 99 right up in downtown Boston, right up the street from the Garden, watching that with a bunch of friends of mine. And that's where I went earlier tonight. And I'd like to just tie something in about if I was this thing with the Celtics going to Miami. That's a kind of cockiness, but it is a party central. Think about if they tried to do that somewhere locally in New England. All the fandom, everyone's going to be pushing on them, crushing on them, the security level. Plus, once they get that parade done, everyone needs to go back in their lives. Last January, when we won the Nationals, literally the next morning, everybody was on their own thing because they had to get back in their lives. So the better you do, the longer you go in the season, you're checking away from your personal life. So
that's true. I do agree with that. I understand they have a gap here where they want to celebrate together as a team. However, I still say if you're in Boston, you can, first of all, who cares what the scene is? You can still drink and party anywhere, but you can also get a back room. You can also rent out a bar, or I dare say any bar owner would be happy. A hotel owner would be happy to have them party. So yeah, I mean, I'm not a 25-year-old dude. I'm not super cool. In fact, I'm the opposite of that, both those things. But it just seems a little odd that they couldn't wait to get out of town and get to Miami.
And by the way, thank you for always repping New England well. I know you grew up in New Hampshire. So.
I did. I do love New England, for sure. All right. Thank you. Good to talk to you in Massachusetts. Thank you. Let's talk to Ellen, who's in St. Louis. Ellen, welcome to After Hours. Ellen?
Babe, sorry. I had you on mute.
Oh, it happens a lot. Don't worry.
No, not you. I had me on mute. Let me put it that way. I didn't think you wanted to hear me rattling around when I was waiting to get on the air. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, America. I just wanted to say, I think it's totally fine they went to Miami. I live in the Heartland. I love the Heartland. It's where I'm from. But if I had an opportunity to go and have a vista looking out onto the ocean with cool summer breezes, come on. It's okay. It's not a slight. Everybody settle down.
You know that Boston has water, right?
Of course they do. Yes,
okay, it's on the ocean.
Boston, it's wonderful.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
It is.
But Miami's just a thing. I mean, I don't personally get the Miami vibe, but I know so many people who it's just like, you know, hashtag goals and all this kind of stuff. And so it's totally fine that they want to go somewhere, and they'll be back, and they'll be on those duck boats, whatever in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine. And I think it's just, look, they
earned it.
They're young guys who get to do whatever they want because they pulled off what seemed to be a very, you know,
yes,
long, steep climb. And as far as a player I wish I had seen or been more conscious of, I think I was alive during kind of the end, but Bob Gibson, who is a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Lowest ERA in history. Now, of course, I think the mound was higher at that point. So, but he was around the Cardinals all the time prior to his, you know, he would go to spring training every year. And that guy was just one, by his own definition, mean SOB. He was like, I hate that, you know, teams are so friendly with each other. And he would always tell the pitchers, I mean, he loved throwing at people. It was just obviously a different era of baseball, but I just love that guy's competitive spirit and fire. And obviously just a great pitcher. So
yes,
that's all I had to say. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute.
Doesn't totally matter. We mess up all the time here. There goes the perfect show. Thank you, Ellen. Always good to hear from you.
Sorry, I was the person who caused it.
No, stop it.
Have a good day.
Thanks for your phone call. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we've got Ask Amy Anything. I know there's a ton of questions already on Twix at Amy After Hours, as well as our Facebook page. You got a couple of minutes left. Just as a side note, Boston, as well as most of the Eastern Seaboard, and really the Mid-Atlantic up through the Northeast, is about to get hit with the first major heat wave of the season. And so we're talking temps in the mid-90s, heat indices up into the triple digits. So, hey, if you wanted Miami temps, they're actually going to hit Boston by the end of the week. In fact, Friday's parade could feel a little bit like South Beach. So there's that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I do feel like I have the strength to be able to do it. It's just a matter of doing it. This golf course is going to test every single aspect of your game, especially mentally, and just the mental discipline that it takes to play this particular golf course. And it's going to take a lot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tiger Woods had it pegged for the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. He did not make the cut, and in fact seemed pretty discouraged about his round on Friday. The U.S. Open is meant to be difficult. It's meant to be challenging. Rory McIlroy is one of the best players in the world, and think about what happened to him at the end. And so as Tiger Woods was bowing out of the U.S. Open and heading home early, you could hear the frustration and maybe some discouragement in his voice on Friday.
It's probably the highest score I could have possibly shot today. I had a lot of good shots that just didn't quite go my way, or I hit good putts. And then I put myself in a couple bad spots with some bad lag putts. But again, as I said, it was probably the highest score I could have shot today.
And there's maybe a similarity there, too, because if you were watching on Friday, Tiger had a ball lip out, so a putt that he was very close to making. It lips out the same way that Rory's two did, the bogeys that he had on 16 and 18 on Sunday when he left the door wide open for Bryson DeChambeau. So certainly that was a common occurrence at this U.S. Open. But for Woods, when that ball lipped out, he did not get a birdie that he needed to try to make the cut. So both the PGA Championship as well as the U.S. Open, he's missed the cut now. And kind of talked about the challenge of it and the fact that, you know, this may be something that he's going to have to reconsider moving forward. Three-time U.S. Open winner, but he won't have to worry about qualifying. Get this. I'm blown away by this. In light of everything that's happened with LIV, where the PGA Tour has refused to credit LIV players with any type of points to make them eligible for things like Ryder Cup as well as the Olympics. Do you know Bryson DeChambeau is not allowed to compete in the Olympics for Team USA? He's so upset about the fact that he can't go to Paris. And the reason is because he moved to LIV Golf and the PGA Tour refuses to allow rankings points from LIV events. Remember, Brooks Koepka was part of the Ryder Cup team last year, but that was only because he was a captain's choice. He didn't earn it, so to speak, with the points. So here's Bryson, a fan favorite all week. It's a little bit like the whole Caitlin Clark to the U.S. Olympic team, right? That she could have been selected. There was a case to be made. Fans would have loved it, but nah, don't have enough experience. You're not old enough, that kind of thing. So here's Bryson, who lit up Pinehurst. They loved watching him play. There were chants of USA, USA, as he's winning this Open, his second major title. And because he doesn't have any rankings points, since he's no longer a full-time participant on the PGA Tour, he can't qualify for the Paris Olympics. Riddle me this, Batman. What do the Olympics have to do with the PGA Tour? Nothing. Nothing. You should be able to qualify in a way that does not eliminate you because you choose to play on a different tour. I'm really mad about this. The more I talk about it, the madder I get. I'll get back to Tiger Woods. It's ridiculous. The PGA Tour points should not be determining who represents the red, white, and blue in the Olympics. The Olympics are supposed to be for largely amateurs. I know, of course, there's many pro athletes that compete in them now. But why should the PGA Tour determine who competes on the U.S. Olympic team? Find another way to determine qualifiers. Have a separate qualifying tournament if that's what you want. But what the hell does the PGA Tour have to do with the Olympics? Nothing. Nothing at all. The NBA doesn't determine which athletes can participate in the Olympics on the U.S. men's basketball team. They have separate tryouts. They have separate selection committee. It's not the NBA who decides. I wish the NHL would allow its players to compete in the Olympics. But the pro league or the pro organization should have nothing to do with the red, white, and blue in the Olympics. It really bothers me. So now you've got the PGA Tour taking this other step to create a special sponsor exemption for Tiger Woods. Now, do we all love to see Tiger Woods out there? Yes. Is it going to take a miracle for him to compete in a major again? Yes. Meaning he may be good enough to make the cut, but his physical fitness and the fact that he has to choose between practicing and resting up so that his physical body can go through a tournament, I mean, it's a tough choice. He can't really practice. He talks about it. He can't prepare for tournaments because it puts too much stress on his body. So he kind of goes in just, hey, I'm Tiger Woods and I've got muscle memory. And I'm not saying it's an arrogance. I'm saying if he works out and practices too hard ahead of time, he's too sore and he pays for it and can't compete in the tournament. But the sponsor exemption will allow him to compete in the signature events on the PGA Tour. So they're smaller fields, there's more money, there's FedEx Cup points. Essentially, the PGA Tour is trying to get more of Tiger Woods because that's what the fans respond to still, and to make it so he doesn't have to qualify. Now, if anyone should have a lifetime sponsor exemption, it should be Tiger Woods. But again, if you can break the rules for Tiger, I don't understand why you have to stick to them for everything else and stick to your guns, especially when the PGA and the LIV Tour are supposed to be merging. It's BS is what it is. It's a sham. That was never going to happen. It was all about getting the lawsuits tossed. That's the only reason. And now that none of these LIV guys can sue the PGA Tour, they feel like they're in a great spot. Because if I'm Bryson or any of these other guys who want to compete in the Olympics, I just might file a lawsuit, get an injunction somehow. This is the Olympics we're talking about. But, you know, if it's Tiger Woods, because he wouldn't be able to qualify for all these signature events, he doesn't play enough golf, he doesn't have enough FedEx Cup points, they've got to find a way to get him in there anyway. So he can have a lifetime exemption because it's a lifetime achievement award, essentially. and it's just for Tiger Woods. Ugh, the hypocrisy bothers me. On Twix, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, last minute questions for Ask Amy Anything that's coming up next. We're glad to have you with us, especially when I need to air my frustrations.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Yeah, yeah. Fire away, baby. Heading up toward the top of the hour. Chance to get your questions asked and answered on Ask Amy Anything. Jay's got the questions, of course. Lots of them coming in every week, even though we've been doing this now since 2014. 2014. Wow, 10 years of Ask Amy Anything. Ha! All right, Jay, you're up. You're probably the ninth producer ever to ask the questions. The best, of course, the best.
Oh, well, thank you. And you're the welcome. One, the unique ones keep coming in every week, so it's
That's
a great
good.
Job. Out of
I it. Like it.
I got to start with this one, though, which wasn't that unique. Daryl asks, did you watch the NBA Finals?
No, I talked about it here on the air. I covered every single game, gave my analysis. We played the audio, some highlights. I didn't watch a thing. Why would I do that? It's not like I get paid to work in sports.
All right. Oh, dear. I had to start there. Let's
Thank
really get
you.
Into it.
Nice.
This comes from Marcia, who we, I don't think we've talked about this in a while, and I don't know either. Did your mom get her roof fixed?
Actually, she did not yet, but they just got the claim approved. And so now they can go and they can get it fixed. They were waiting on the insurance, waiting on the paperwork. So many people in the Houston area and really in lots of Texas as well as the Midwest have had damage from storms. And now we're just getting into hurricane season. And so they've been a long wait. But yeah, they still have a tarp over their roof, believe it or not.
The rain is still, it stopped there, right?
Well, they haven't had any in the last week or so, but they've still had other rain events. Thankfully, the tarp is holding, but my mom refuses to go anywhere until it's fixed. She will not go on vacation. They canceled their Memorial Day vacation because she will not leave until the roof is fixed.
Huh.
Yeah.
This one, going back to Hawaii. This comes from Tom. He says, as a former photographer, I spent many days taking snapshots of the Hawaiian clouds. He said he really liked the Hawaiian clouds, how they could show up on photograph.
Yes.
He said you spent all his days spending snapshots of the clouds. Did you experience any stunning ones while there, or did you take any photographs or any one photograph that is special to you from Hawaii, the clouds?
Well, clouds are my favorite subject, so I appreciate that question from Tom. There was one night where we went up on the top of a mountain on the Big Island and had a barbecue. It was a Hawaiian barbecue, all you can eat, amazing food in a ranch setting. And we were up on a big porch. It was family style. There were about 70. Well, it was a buffet, but you would eat family style, just finding a spot at a picnic table with a bunch of different people that you didn't know. So you had a chance to talk and mingle. It was amazing that night. Now, this particular mountain is most of the time in the clouds. They get so much rain up there. That's why they have such lush ranch land and lush land for growing crops. But it was a perfect night. There were a few clouds. The sunset was glorious going down behind the mountain. Oh, my gosh. I kept getting up from the table, excusing myself. Bob was eating, of course, but he was entertaining the friends that we made to take photos of the sunset. And they are phenomenal. So, yeah, we've had some really amazing sunset photos. But that one particular sunset, I probably have a dozen photos of, and they're among my favorites. Also, I love photographing the beaches and the different colors of the water. I'll never forget the aquamarines, the deep blues, and every shade in between. The water in Hawaii was awesome.
Now we got to go to some food. James wants to know, when you dine at a restaurant, what's your go-to entree?
Yeah, I don't have one. I would say that there are a couple of places, like my favorite Thai food place, where I get green or red curry, and I have maybe a standard order there. But when I go to a new restaurant, and or even a restaurant I've been to before, and I want to get a good meal, I will eat whatever strikes my fancy. So we took Bob out, and by we, I mean a couple of family members that I flew in on Friday. One of his sons and his fiance flew them in, and they took us out to dinner on Saturday night for his Father's Day gift. And it was an authentic Italian menu. They bring a lot of their stuff in from Italy. The chef is well known in northern New Jersey. Anyway, I had a homemade pasta with a pork ragu. It was awesome. But I would eat anything off the menu. It's just what strikes me. So I would say authentic Italian, handmade Italian pasta is pretty darn good. But otherwise, I just kind of go with the flow.
Brian wants to know, which place is your go-to best food restaurant?
Well, the one that we went to on Saturday night is one of my favorites. It was the first time that Bob had been, and of course, his family had not been there, so it was awesome. I'm not going to name it because I don't want people to know where I live and where I eat. We also have an authentic Italian pizza joint in my neighborhood. It's a family-owned. It's a mom-and-pop. It's been there for almost 40 years. Phenomenal pizza. Like, thin crust is my go-to. That's amazing. I'm trying to think if there's a... I like Cheesecake Factory, but it's become way too expensive. Way too expensive. New Jersey is known for its diners. So there's a couple of diners that we go to where you can literally buy anything. They've got a 300-page menu. Well, okay, it's 300 items. It's like a 30-page menu. And the baked goods. So, yeah, I like to spread it around. I wouldn't say there's a chain restaurant that I generally go to. I try to go to unique one-offs. But if you're in Houston, Taste of Texas is awesome. We may celebrate my mom's retirement at that one.
So this was interesting. We got two questions about potatoes. So David wants to know, what's your favorite way to eat potatoes? And Mike wants to know, what's your favorite topping on a baked potato?
Oh, sweet. Well, sour cream is one of my favorite condiments ever. I do also like a horseradish dip that I make, so either one of those is good with a potato. My favorite form of potatoes, and this is regardless of when I eat them, but it also includes Thanksgiving, smashed potatoes, meaning they're mashed, but with the skins on. So I love sweet potatoes that way. I love red pots or yellow pots or baby pots, anything. I'm a big fan of smashed potatoes.
And Bill wants to know, what's your favorite cookie?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Not one that you make, because that's not fair.
Oh, okay. So I love your standard chocolate chip, but I also really love anything with coconut. So, yeah, Jay knows I make an island cookie. He says I can't say that, but I'm a big fan of anything with coconut.
Rich wants to know, did you watch Captain Kangaroo as a kid?
Every now and then. More of a Sesame Street kid. My brother and I watched Sesame Street and Electric Company. We watched cartoons, so Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, some of the Saturday morning cartoons that everybody's familiar with, Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote. I wouldn't say Captain Kangaroo. Mr. Rogers we watched when we were real little.
Is Captain Kangaroo?
Oh, you have to look him up. He was a little before my time, though. I do remember him somewhat, but he wasn't one of the ones that was always on in our house.
Chip wants to know, which is your favorite, dog or horse?
Oh, that's awful. I can only have one? Well, then a dog. But Bob and I would both like to own a horse at some point. Adopt a horse at some point.
Big Jim wants to know, what's the most you've ever paid for a concert ticket?
Oh, Billy Joel. Billy Joel for sure. Nearly $200. And that's way, way beyond what I would generally pay for entertainment. But it was worth it to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
I still have to do that.
Yeah, you do. It's only going to get more expensive, so
do it. Seems. They sell out every freaking show. Yeah. Only plays there once a month. Bam Bam wants to know, have you ever visited any Hall of Fames?
Yes, I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Honestly, it's a weird thing about me. That's the only one I've been to. I've been near some of the other Hall of Fames, like the NASCAR Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame. I've just not been in them. So, yeah, it's weird.
Let's see. Brandon wants to know, if going to the moon was an option, would you go?
No. I'm not leaving. First of all, I waited a long freaking time to get married. I'm not leaving my husband to go to the moon. So,
what if
no.
Bob can come?
No, Bob and I are not going to the moon. We've got families here. We've got jobs. We've got pets.
Come back.
No, you don't know that. You have no idea. That's the thing. It's a risk that I am not willing to take. I'll jump out of an airplane. I'll go skydiving. But I am not going to the moon. You have no idea what could go wrong and whether or not you'll ever get back.
What if they commercialized it? And it was proven safe. No interest?
How do you prove
that you'll... Two flights made it there and back?
No. Two flights? No, absolutely not. All right, again, I'm not leaving the people that I love most here on Earth. I'm good.
This comes from Randy. He wants to know, what's the craziest weather you've ever had to go through? To make it to the show or home from the show?
Oh, heavens. Well, we had a couple of pretty serious blizzards and snowstorms in the New York City area. One of them, I remember I was driving in and I had to stop multiple times along the side of the road. The snow was so heavy that my windshield wipers couldn't get through it. And so I had to stop to scrape the snow off of my windshield. But the craziest weather I ever drove through was Hurricane Ida. Or by the time it got to us, Tropical Storm Ida, just, what was it, 4 summers ago, I think? 21. It was summer of 21, so 3 summers ago. And, I mean, the number of floating cars in the middle of the highway.
Right when we started working together.
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. There were thousands of stranded cars and entire roadways that were flooded out, and I was scared to death. I mean, Princess Leia, she's a small SUV, and she's got four-wheel drive, but we were driving through standing water that was up to my door. I mean, it was... And, oh, by the way, the company never reached out to let us know that it was okay to work from home or to let us know they were worried about us and to please be safe.
Hotel? No.
Yeah, no, no.
All right, quick rapid fire. Solar power or wind power?
Solar power.
Bird watching or stargazing?
Stargazing.
Pizza or tacos?
Oh, tacos.
Roller coasters or water slides?
Roller coasters.
Last one, gifts or memes?
Memes. Gifts. Memes. We're glad to have you with us, especially when I need to air my frustrations.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Toward the top of the hour, chance to get your questions asked and answered on Ask Amy Anything. Jay's got the questions, of course, lots of them coming in every week, even though we've been doing this now since 2014. Wow, 10 years of Ask Amy Anything. Ha! All right, Jay, you're up. You're probably the 9th producer ever to ask the questions. The best, of course, the best.
Oh, well, thank you. And the unique ones keep coming in every week, so it's
that's
a great
good.
Job.
I like it.
I got to start with this one, though, which wasn't that unique. Daryl asks, did you watch the NBA Finals?
No. I talked about it here on the air. I covered every single game, gave my analysis. We played the audio, some highlights. I didn't watch a thing. Why would I do that? It's not like I get paid to work in sports.
All right. Oh, dear. Had to start there. Let's
Thank
really get
you.
Into it.
Nice.
This comes from Marcia, who I don't think we've talked about this in a while, and I don't know either. Did your mom get her roof fixed?
Actually, she did not yet, but they just got the claim approved, and so now they can go and they can get it fixed. They were waiting on the insurance, waiting on the paperwork. So many people in the Houston area and really in lots of Texas as well as the Midwest have had damage from storms, and now we're just getting into hurricane season, and so they've been a long wait. But yeah, they still have a tarp over their roof, believe it or not.
The rain is still, it stopped there, right?
Well, they haven't had any in the last week or so, but they've still had other rain events. Thankfully, the tarp is holding, but my mom refuses to go anywhere until it's fixed. She will not go on vacation. They canceled their Memorial Day vacation because she will not leave until the roof is fixed.
Huh.
Yeah.
This one, we're going back to Hawaii. This comes from Tom. He says, as a former photographer, I spent many days taking snapshots of the Hawaiian clouds. He said he really liked the Hawaiian clouds, how they could show up on photograph.
Yes.
He said you spend all of his days spending snapshots of the clouds. Did you experience any stunning ones while there, or did you take any photographs or any one photograph that is special to you from Hawaii, the clouds?
Well, clouds are my favorite subject, so I appreciate that question from Tom. There was one night where we went up on the top of a mountain on the Big Island and had a barbecue. It was a Hawaiian barbecue, all you can eat, amazing food, in a ranch setting, and we were up on a big porch. It was family style. There were about 70. Well, it was a buffet, but you would eat family style, just finding a spot at a picnic table with a bunch of different people that you didn't know, so you had a chance to talk and mingle. It was amazing that night. Now, this particular mountain is most of the time in the clouds. They get so much rain up there. That's why they have such lush ranch land and lush land for growing crops. But it was a perfect night. There were a few clouds. The sunset was glorious going down behind the mountain. Oh, my gosh. I kept getting up from the table, excusing myself. Bob was eating, of course, but he was entertaining the friends that we made to take photos of the sunset, and they are phenomenal. So yeah, we've had some really amazing sunset photos, but that one particular sunset, I probably have a dozen photos of, and they're among my favorites. Also, I love photographing the beaches and the different colors of the water. I'll never forget the aquamarines, the deep blues, and every shade in between. The water in Hawaii was awesome.
Now we got to go to some food. James wants to know, when you dine at a restaurant, what's your go-to entree?
Yeah, I don't have one. I would say that there are a couple of places, like my favorite Thai food place, where I get green or red curry, and I have maybe a standard order there. But when I go to a new restaurant, and or even a restaurant I've been to before, and I want to get a good meal, I will eat whatever strikes my fancy. So we took Bob out, and by we, I mean a couple of family members that I flew in on Friday. One of his sons and his fiance flew them in, and they took us out to dinner on Saturday night for his Father's Day gift. And it was an authentic Italian menu. They bring a lot of their stuff in from Italy. The chef is well known in northern New Jersey. Anyway, I had a homemade pasta with a pork ragu. It was awesome. But I would eat anything off the menu. It's just what strikes me. So I would say authentic Italian, handmade Italian pasta is pretty darn good. But otherwise, I just kind of go with the flow.
Brian wants to know, which place is your go-to fast food restaurant?
Well, the one that we went to on Saturday night is one of my favorites. It was the first time that Bob had been, and of course, his family had not been there, so it was awesome. I'm not going to name it because I don't want people to know where I live and where I eat. We also have an authentic Italian pizza joint in my neighborhood. It's a family-owned. It's a mom and pop. It's been there for almost 40 years. Phenomenal pizza. Like, thin crust is my go-to. That's amazing. I'm trying to think if there's a... I like Cheesecake Factory, but it's become way too expensive. Way too expensive. New Jersey is known for its diners. So there's a couple of diners that we go to where you can literally buy anything. They've got a 300-page menu. Well, okay, it's 300 items. It's like a 30-page menu. And the baked goods. So, yeah, I like to spread it around. I wouldn't say there's a chain restaurant that I generally go to. I try to go to unique one-offs. But if you're in Houston, Taste of Texas is awesome. We may celebrate my mom's retirement at that one.
So this was interesting. We got two questions about potatoes. So David wants to know, what's your favorite way to eat potatoes? And Mike wants to know, what's your favorite topping on a baked potato?
Oh, sweet. Well, sour cream is one of my favorite condiments ever. I do also like a horseradish dip that I make, so either one of those is good with a potato. My favorite form of potatoes, and this is regardless of when I eat them, but it also includes Thanksgiving, smashed potatoes, meaning they're mashed, but with the skins on. So I love sweet potatoes that way. I love red pots or yellow pots or baby pots, anything. I'm a big fan of smashed potatoes.
And Bill wants to know, what's your favorite cookie?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Not one that you make, because that's not fair.
Oh, okay. So I love your standard chocolate chip, but I also really love anything with coconut. So, yeah, Jay knows I make an island cookie. He says I can't say that, but I'm a big fan of anything with coconut.
Rich wants to know, did you watch Captain Kangaroo as a kid?
Every now and then. More of a Sesame Street kid. My brother and I watched Sesame Street and Electric Company. We watched cartoons, so Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, some of the Saturday morning cartoons that everybody's familiar with, Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote. I wouldn't say Captain Kangaroo. Mr. Rogers we watched when we were real little.
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, you have to look him up. He was a little before my time, though. I do remember him somewhat, but he wasn't one of the ones that was always on in our house.
Chip wants to know, which is your favorite, dog or horse?
Oh, that's awful. I can only have one? Well, then a dog. But Bob and I would both like to own a horse at some point. Adopt a horse at some point.
Big Jim wants to know, what's the most you've ever paid for a concert ticket?
Oh, Billy Joel. Billy Joel for sure. Nearly $200. And that's way, way beyond what I would generally pay for entertainment. But it was worth it to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
I still have to do that.
Yeah, you do. It's only going to get more expensive, so do it.
So it seems they sell out every freaking show. Yeah. Only plays there once a month. Bam Bam wants to know, have you ever visited any Hall of Fames?
Yes, I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Honestly, it's a weird thing about me. That's the only one I've been to. I've been near some of the other Hall of Fames, like the NASCAR Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame. I've just not been in them. So, yeah, it's weird.
Let's see. Brandon wants to know, if going to the moon was an option,
no.
Would you go?
No. I'm not First of all, I waited a long freaking time to get married. I'm not leaving my husband to go to the moon. So,
what if
no.
Bob can come?
No, Bob and I are not going to the moon. We've got families here. We've got jobs. We've got
you can
pets.
Come back.
No, you don't know that. You have no idea. That's the thing. It's a risk that I am not willing to take. I'll jump out of an airplane. I'll go skydiving, but I am not going to the moon. You have no idea what could go wrong and whether or not you'll ever get back.
What if they commercialized it? And it was proven safe. No? No interest?
How do you prove
like that you'll two flights made it there and back?
No. Two flights? No. Absolutely not.
All right,
again, I'm not leaving the people that I love most here on Earth. I'm good.
This comes from Randy, who wants to know, what's the craziest weather you've ever had to go through? To make it to the show or home from the show?
Oh, heavens. Well, we had a couple of pretty serious blizzards and snowstorms in the New York City area. One of them, I remember I was driving in and I had to stop multiple times along the side of the road. The snow was so heavy that my windshield wipers couldn't get through it. And so I had to stop to scrape the snow off of my windshield. But the craziest weather I ever drove through was Hurricane Ida. Or by the time it got to us, Tropical Storm Ida, just, what was it, 4 summers ago, I think? 21. It was summer of 21, so 3 summers ago. And, I mean, the number of floating cars in the middle of the highway.
Right when we started working together.
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. There were thousands of stranded cars and entire roadways that were flooded out, and I was scared to death. I mean, Princess Leia, she's a small SUV, and she's got four-wheel drive, but we were driving through standing water that was up to my door. I mean, it was... And, oh, by the way, the company never reached out to let us know that it was okay to work from home or to let us know they were worried about us and to please be safe.
Hotel, no.
Yeah, no, no.
All right, quick rapid fire. Solar power or wind power?
Solar power.
Bird watching or stargazing?
Stargazing.
Pizza or tacos?
Oh, tacos.
Roller coasters or water slides?
Roller coasters.
Last one, GIFs or memes?
Memes. GIFs. Memes.